Who managed to hit somebody else when they were doing great big good? Any injuries here? Yeah. Janice did. Yeah. Hit Brian, apparently. It might have been for a different reason. I don't know. Okay. Just a bit of background, really. One of the strange things that happens when you're around children is you see adult behaviour, but in a much more straightforward way. And I remember one of the children that we're looking after at the moment, in the morning, would look very miserable at breakfast. And I said to this person, I said, what's the matter? And they said, nothing. Nothing's the matter. And I said, are you sure? Yeah. And I'm thinking immediately, what they're saying and what they're demonstrating is two things. Anybody else around anybody that when you ask them is anything wrong, they just go, no, nothing. Anyway, it turned out that this behaviour was due to me promising to read a bedtime story, but then forgetting. It's very bad. Yeah. Ivan tells me he would be upset as well. And do you know, it's one of these moments, just get yourself ready for bed, I'll be up in a minute. And, you know, I've forgotten and I apologised. And I said, do you forgive me? Very sorry, words around that. And the response was, when I asked him, you know, are you okay now? We'll see what happens tonight. And somehow, despite being 52, dealing with a 7-year-old, I thought, I am not in control of this situation. Because what had happened is, I had offended him, and his offence had gone into his heart, and it was affecting his behaviour, his communication, everything. Yeah? Everything was affected by this. And one of my common phrases at home is when things go wrong like this and it's, you know, people take offence or whatever, I have to say, I'm a nice man, really. I had no intention to cause these problems. But problems happen and people take offence. Is that true? It's not just people. It's us, isn't it? Some people are more prone to this than others, maybe. I don't know. This is Psalm 119, verses 165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Great peace have those that love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. That's NIV. And you might focus on the word stumble, which is important. But actually, if you read in King James, it takes a more literal translation. It says this, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And there is something about taking offence in all sorts of situations that is debilitating in Christian life. Absolutely debilitating. And one of the things I do a little bit of is I go and see people occasionally that I haven't seen at church for a while and just pop in and see how they're doing, or people in those sorts of situations. And again and again and again, offence comes up. Again and again and again. They've taken offence at something and it's festered and it's built up and it's built a wall. Absolutely common. See somebody recently and they said, oh, somebody said something to my wife and it upset her, and that was it. And I'm running out of fingers for the number of times I've heard stuff like that. Offence. Great peace have those that love their law, and nothing shall offend them. We need to be in a place, as the psalmist writes, where actually this stuff, God deals with it. Yeah. And we have to recognise that taking offence isn't just a bizarre trait of character, but it's a prime satanic weapon to bring down Christians. Prime satanic weapon. The word behind a lot of this stuff, the Greek word is scandalion, which is used a lot in terms of the offence of the cross. And it's interpreted as stumbling block, and you think people tripping over a stumbling block. A trap, a snare. It's a lot. And this word offence is not always translated NIV as offence. Sometimes it's, but not always. In King James, it is a lot, translated directly as offence. In the NIV, it tends to be translated in terms of the effects of offence. But it's a key thing. So it's a stumbling block, a trap, a snare. And we tend to think about other people, but it's actually often me as well, taking offence. And do you know, sometimes I go see people who are sort of in this sort of position and they've drifted from us maybe, and often drifted from God. Some people leave church here for lots of other reasons, and it's not all bad. But actually it's about not their relationship with people at High Street, it's about their relationship with God, essentially. And this offence, taking offence, leads to fruitless living. Fruitless living. It's very apparent in Scripture. Because this is a prime tool of Satan, and Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Yeah? And he doesn't come to kill, steal, and destroy because you haven't got anything, but he kills something that was alive. See what I'm saying? So he comes to kill something that was alive. He comes to steal something that you did have. Yeah. He destroys something that did exist. And in our lives, this scandalion, this offense, is really, really potent in our lives and what Satan can do with this stuff. And we can all be prone to this stuff. And I've got to, over the years, get to a position where people say some pretty tough stuff about me. You might think I'm a nice guy, but in terms of tonight dealing with Christians, people say some pretty tough stuff to me. And sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not. And processing that in such a way that I can give it to God and not be offended at people is actually a real challenge. But it's the walk we should walk. Yeah. There will be some of you here that I've got offences that go back years. Years and years and years. Difficulties, things you've not got over. It's caused offence. And that offence has been taken into your heart. And it's almost like a scar on your body. An offence. A pain. And sometimes when you drill down, it's really something and nothing, but Satan's got hold of it and done something. I remember just a situation at work. It wasn't church. I remember a senior manager effectively lying about something I did. Completely made it up. And I was in real trouble at work. And in my mind, what starts to happen is you take this offence and you amplify it and you nurse it, and then you start to share it with people around you. And you don't deal with it. What I needed to do is say, God, I'm your son. This is your problem. I want to give it to you. I want to pray for her. I want to bless her. I want you to work in this situation. And God did. God did. But it's so easy to take the offense into your heart, give it harborage, and it sits there. And you feed it and nurse it, and it goes round in your head. I heard on the radio this morning that 60%, between 40 and 60%, I think it was, of our thinking time is nothing to do with what we're doing at the moment. Yeah, I might as elsewhere. I hope yours isn't now. 60% of the time I'm thinking about something else. And actually, if you're in this place of offence, that offence can tick and tick and tick round until it becomes familiar train tracks in your brain. When you see that person or you're in that situation, that train track of offence kicks in. If you don't see it's true for you, you'll know people it's true for. And it's probably true for you as well, but you just hadn't seen it maybe. Okay. It affects ministry, affects personality, affects how you deal with people. If people get hit by this enough times, they withdraw. They withdraw and don't get involved. in public life. A friend of mine is a keen, charismatic, Anglican guy. People took offense at what he preached. He had a breakdown, smashed it. 1 in 10 church leaders make it to retirement. 1 in 10. It's pretty bad. And this offense thing is huge, huge. Yeah? I could stand here and preach on loads of stuff that's biblical, and thankfully this is a biblical church, but in lots of churches I could preach on what's in here, so many people would be offended and they would give me a really hard time. Yeah, really hard time. We had it yesterday, a little bit, people taking offence at stuff. Yeah, getting quite agitated. King Saul gets offended. He gets offended at David, actually, not really anything that David did. So King Saul, here we have, he's successful, he's under Saul's the king, he's successful. They come back from a campaign, the ladies are singing songs, Saul has killed his thousands, David has killed his tens of thousands. Yeah. Something stirs in Saul's spirit. Something stirs in Saul's spirit. He took offense. He took offense, and from that point on, it spirals down. As the offense wasn't just brushed off, he took it into his heart, and it became the reason for his existence almost. To deal with the offense that he'd heard from a group of singing ladies. I had no idea what this stuff was. As an early Christian, I was an elder at a church in Cambridge, and Lorna and I had a house group, and we had a lady there. She'd come to the Lord, and she seemed really to be going on well, doing fantastic stuff, involved in loads of things, and stopped coming. And I went to go and see her and stuff, and she said, yeah, I just don't think it's the place for me. I need to move on. And I'm thinking, okay, fine. It's a bit like, as a church lead, you know, when people say that to you, you've got to be careful with church leaders, because actually it feels like a member of your family. I think it's fancy a different family. It's a hard thing. So you love people. I said, okay, I just love you, bless you. But tell me the story. What's happened? And it boiled down to, in our house, at a house group, we asked people at the end what they would like to be prayed for. We went around, there were several things, 10 people in it. And we gathered it all up, people prayed for different people, and we forgot her prayer request. We forgot it. It wasn't massive. It wasn't a big thing. Nobody was dying. But she took offense, and it built up to be a massive issue. And it built up to a level where, as a leader, I wasn't spiritual. And I wasn't hearing from God. I think, oh, wow. And it started at that level. Maybe that's the immature Christian. Because the word says, great peace of those who love your law, and nothing can offend them. Do you know what? I think that happens to loads of people. I think that happens to a lot of people. We have to guard ourselves against offense. When these things come, people say stuff and it sits with you difficult. You think, oh, my life. There is something here that you need to recognize straight away. People say stuff to you and it'll hit you. And this preach has been on my heart for 6 months. And I've been just praying about it, mulling it over. And do you know what? I was in a charity shop in Newmarket. And bizarrely, in this charity shop, they had a teaching series, biblical teaching series. And I've been praying for a long time about this preach. And there's a preaching series. And it was by a guy called Dwayne Sheriff. And I thought, that's interesting. Biblical teaching series. I pulled it off the shelf, see what it was. And it was an offense. I think, whoa. I thought, I've been thinking about this for ages. So I'm listening to it in my car and I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is great. And he says this point, he makes it really well. He says, the scandalion, the offense that we experience, is a trap. Be careful where you go. Don't take it into your heart. And he said, it's a bit like, his analogy is a mousetrap. And he says, you go up to a mousetrap, the trap will spring. If you go too close, don't touch it, don't take it into your heart, it's going to spring and it'll catch you. He said, you don't want to go anywhere near it. He says, before you go near it, smell the cheese. smell the cheese. And I was thinking to myself, wow, that's interesting. Every 2 weeks, I go to my mother-in-law, or just goes to my mother-in-law's house. We go up in the loft, we recover mouse traps with dead mice in. And if I ever could give that mouse some advice, it would be smell the cheese. But I take these carcasses down of dead mice, and more interestingly, I look at them and with more pity, you know, thinking, you could be an offended Christian. It's really awful, but it's really true. So if I forget to shake your hands on Sunday morning, I don't invite you for lunch, I don't remember your birthday, it's not that I don't love you or care for you. It's because I'm a frail human being who had no intention to harass you, neglect you, or offend you. Saul, from that point on, was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. They credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time, Saul kept a close eye on David. Do you know what? If he was to tell that story, he'd sound such a fool. Do you know, when we were coming back from battle, you'd done a fantastic job, you'd done brilliant stuff, but the ladies, they sang this song, and you know, and it's just really got to me. It sounds so pathetic. But there's something about the evil spirit that got to work in his heart that changed that around. It brought antagonism, it brought distance between the two of them. Sometimes, you know, we might be offended at other people. Sometimes we're offended at God. It sounds a strange thing. We're offended at God. God didn't do what we wanted him to do. We're offended at God. It might just be because of the journey. We didn't think the journey would be like this. We didn't think it'd be this hard, this difficult. We didn't think we'd have trouble. Build your house on a rock because storms will come. We can take offense at God. I love the story of Mary and Martha, and I wonder, after Lazarus had died and Jesus went to see the family and Lazarus is in the tomb and Martha comes out to see him, but the passage says that Mary stayed at home. And the conversation was, if only you had. If only you had. I wonder if there was an offense at Jesus or God, if only you had. This stuff comes, but the devil's intention is that you would be offended at God. The whole battle with Job is that Satan would get him riled with God. Satan's not so much concerned about the condition of his skin that he's fettered with maggots. He wants him to deny God and get furious with God. He wants that offense to prosper in his spirit until it builds up and overtakes him, until he pulls a distance between him and God, until he even denies God through his condition. David himself, after seeing it in Saul, falls into some of the same traps with God. He goes to the ark. He wants to bring it into Jerusalem. He thinks, oh, we've got to transport this object from here to here. He thinks, get a cart, loads his cart up, puts the ark on the cart that way. Off he goes. It's not the way God wants it moving. It rocks. It starts to come loose. One of the guys puts his hands out. He gets killed. David then just goes, oh, for goodness sake, delivers it into a local house, goes home, sits for 3 months. He became angry with God and he left for 3 months. 3 months, God did a work in his heart and God blessed the house where the ark sat. David could have had that blessing, but his anger with God and the offense sat with him. He processed that. Unlike Saul, David processed that offense. Because David, later on, when the ark does come in the right way, he dances before the ark. And somebody else now takes offense. So his wife, Michael, his wife, saw him dancing in very little clothes. And she thought, look at this guy. How can he do this? And it says in the scripture, she despised him in her heart. And you know what? David's been through a journey here. He's been through a journey in terms of dealing with God and God not necessarily always doing what he wants. And he says this, I will become even more undignified than this. I will be humiliated in my own eyes. He gets to the point that to do what God's wanted, even if he's humiliated in his own eyes, he will do it. He will do it. I don't know, sometimes we might deny being offended, a bit like a small child the next morning, and things have caused offence and we never really deal with it. And we deny that it's happened. But if we live with this offence, it leads to isolation, communication breaks down, separation comes. It's a big issue. In the story of the sower, this is the sower from NIV. Talks about the seed that lands comes among rocks. But since you have no roots, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. That's NIV. New King James says this. And they have no root themselves, so they endure only for a time. And afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises from the word's sake, immediately they stumble. King James says this. They have no root in themselves, and so endure for only a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Wow. It makes you unfruitful. It cuts down communication. Our dealings with God dry up. It's awful, awful. Jesus said, deal with it. So the passage is interesting. Again, Jesus says to them, to the disciples, if your right eye makes you stumble, makes you trip, offends you, deal with it. If it's your hand or your eye, deal with it. Get to grips with it. Jesus advocates radical surgery with the offense. Because actually, over time, if I'm offended, it goes around, it becomes a pattern in my life. I remember meeting a guy a couple of years ago now, came to our house, some of you were there, and talked about they really couldn't fit in their church, he didn't get on with people, and you know, he just didn't work for him, and he was a Christian, but he just couldn't do church because people annoyed him. And I remember him being challenged by a friend that was there, said, you know, for many of us, church in a telephone box would be really quite comfortable. Church in a telephone box. Because there won't be other people around me to brush up against me, to annoy me, to offend me. We have to be careful. We need to smell the cheese and deal with it. Smell the cheese. The Bible says in Luke 17, offences will come. The difference is, if the offence comes, I grab it and I put it in my heart. Yeah? It will influence who I am and what I am. I don't know, some of you, conversations at work, you're with people, they're just moaning about managers and the bosses and all that sort of stuff, and I think to myself, wow, you can get caught up in that. And these stories are 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago. It's affecting their whole relationships. They've taken offense and it's sat in their heart. Be careful. Smell the cheese. Do you know, I wonder if I was Naaman and a servant girl of all people had said to me, hey, we've got a guy in Israel. He's powerful. Go and see him. I wonder if I, as this great conqueror, the one of the guys that had been attacking Israel, actually, would have gone into Israel to see this guy. I think if this is God's way, this is fairly offensive that you should use a maidservant to speak to me. So he goes off and to see Elisha, and even Elisha doesn't come and meet him, but he sends out his servant to meet this guy. He's offended at that. He's offended he has to go to Israel. He's offended that he has to be told by a little girl. He's offended that a servant comes out. And then he's told to go into the River Jordan, which is nothing like his rivers at home. It's filthy, dirty, and a bit piddly, frankly. No offence. It's not in my notes, that bit, by the way. And he's upset. He says, I've come all this way to be met by a servant to tell him to get this dirty little bit of water. I'm not impressed. He's offended, and he decides almost to go back. The offence has caused him to turn around and have nothing to do with the situation and pull himself out of the situation. The situation is full of promise. It's difficult, and it's awkward, and it's a bit strange. But he decides he's going to do it, and his servant reasons with him. Name his servant. It's good counsel. It's good counsel. If he asked you something really hard to do, you'd do it. If he asked you to walk up 20 mountains, you would have done it. Get on with it. The real issue isn't your feelings, your behaviour, the behaviour of others, the recklessness of other people's character. It's how you deal with this stuff in Christ. Amen? We have to sort this stuff out because, you know, around the world, believers are in prison. And when they write from prison, they are not offended at prison guards. They are not offended at the other prisoners. God's done something in their heart. I want to sort this stuff out before I end up in some of those places. It's a trap. It's there to ensnare you. And I find it interesting in society, in political debate, in social debate, the phrase, I find that really offensive, has risen up the common vernacular. Anything, anything. And so many people take offence. I might take offence, I try not to. People take offence, and they let me go through this. This is something I learned recently, I think it's so true. They nurse it, number one. Number two, they rehearse it. And number three, they disperse it. Yeah? So they nurse it, comes in, oh yeah, I like that, look after it, ooh, that'll sit there. They go through, rehearse it in their minds. It goes round and round. Some of you heard this stuff before. I love this stuff. It goes round and round. And you recognize it. This was me dealing with my boss years ago. And I just said, God, there's a way of dealing with this properly. Not like this. And then they disperse it. And it becomes so dangerous. Disperse it means you tell other people what your views are. Rather than dealing with it. I could stand up here and give loads of thoughts on sexual purity, abortion, tithing, what I think of Jehovah's Witnesses, what I think of Donald Trump, what I think about Brexit, what I think about the history of Israel, dot, 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 dot. Some of you might be offended. Some of you might be offended. Do you want anything else to list? It's a huge list, isn't it? The NIV says this, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. That's a good point to finish a sermon on, not quite. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. And that time many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. In King James it says this, and many will be offended and shall betray one another. Offended. Wow. This is a huge issue. Do you know, sometimes it's accidental. I've offended people accidentally by buying them inappropriate birthday presents, Valentine's presents, not really, or not. The way I've done all sorts of stuff, joked about things, whatever, loads of things. Sometimes I've done it deliberately. This week I had to apologise to a member of my family because I said something that was a flash in the pan. I was annoyed, I said something, I had to go and apologise. Yeah, happens to us all. I just hope I apologise quicker than they reeled that in and put that offence in their heart. I think this is the most sinister part of offence. Remember it says here about dispersing offence, that sometimes we can nurse it, rehearse it, disperse it. Some of the worst people we can disperse that to are children. because actually I've heard it from lots of people where they'll give me an opinion on something, and I know it's not their opinion. I know they've been listening, parents have said something. And sometimes it's pretty negative, and I think sometimes we think we're doing a good job by talking out our concerns and anxieties and offence to young children around us. And they will take that in, and it will be their identity as offended, wounded people. And the Bible is so strong in this. If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, in brackets, to be offended, it will be better for, you know the rest. It's so serious. So serious. And I've heard quite young people take offence at individuals here, leaders, all sorts of stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, they didn't get that through their experience. Their experience is good, positive and wholesome. But they've heard other stuff. And maybe today there is repentance. Maybe today we need to pray for those who offended us. Maybe today we need to pray blessings on them. Maybe today we need to shake the tablecloth of our life to start again. Jesus, in talking about his death and saying about you're going to drink this blood and eat this bread, and this is my body, you're going to drink my blood and eat my flesh. Many of the disciples left him. It was a tough walk with Jesus. I look at what Jesus did and thinking about the culture I'd have come from in meeting Jesus. And he goes off and does this stuff that's completely countercultural. I'd be thinking, this guy is really on the edge. I don't find it difficult. And then he says to them, eat my flesh. And I'm thinking, he's gone over the top. I wouldn't get it. And at that point, many of his disciples left him. And he turns to the rest and he says to them this word. Anybody know what he says to them? Are you offended? This offence debilitates people. I'm so glad that David dealt with it. That he could hand on to Solomon the building of a temple, the right place for the ark. I'm so glad that Naaman's servant helped him deal with it. I'm so glad that Mary and Martha together encouraged each other to come to the teacher and to see the resurrection of hope in Lazarus. I don't want to be like Saul and see offense multiply and multiply, or breathe that out to generation after generation after generation, that become offended and put offence in their heart rather than a love for people and a love for God. Is this a hard word? Is it relevant? I'm just going to pray some stuff. I'm just going to give you a minute. Father, I pray, Lord, wherever we've taken offence and that offence has sat in our heart, Father, we just want to let that go. We ask for your forgiveness. We ask you, Lord, to lift it off us. Lord, we're going to speak peace on those people that have been involved in that situation. I pray that you would bless them. Lord, I thank you that you became offensive to take away any offense that I put in my heart. I give you situations that are still going round the track of my mind and my heart, and I can't let go. I thank you. I'm your child, called by you and loved by you. Please help me to bless and pray for those in those situations. Thank you. Your law says this. Your word says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Father God, it's by your Spirit that this stuff comes in and does a work. So, Father, we pray, Lord, I pray that you would be gentle with those that are hurting, and that you would do surgery on our behalf as we give you our hearts and lives. That, Lord, we might be like Naaman and put a fence behind us and dip in the water and be healed. We might be like David, who says, I will be this humiliated and more. Lord, we'd be like Mary and Martha from disappointment, that they would see resurrection. Father, would you help us to speak well of people, to bless them, not to curse them. And Father, would you uncover any offense in our heart that we might prosper in your care. In Jesus' name. Amen. At this point, Colin, where are you?